Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Dan King is in the kingdom, he's in Tralee. And you come with a pretty daunting task, Dan. Good afternoon. Tell us what you're looking for and how we might be able to help.
Thank you very much, sir. What I'm about is this. My good wife, who is quite ill now, she's in advanced stages of Parkinson's disease. And that. She went to school in Clontarf. Mm-hmm. She came from Howth, went to school in Clontarf to the Holy Faith School there. And her best friend at that school was a girl called Catherine Theresa Macken. Mm-hmm. Now, Catherine lived in the North Strand. But when they'd go, when Dorothy and herself would go anywhere on the way home, Catherine would get off her bus just the first stop after Newcomen Bridge.
Okay, Newcomen Bridge. Yeah, that there's a fire station there now. But what year would that have been, Dan?
No, they were together in the school from 1950 to 1956 in the secondary school, the post-primary school in there. And even after that, they had continued a friendship in that.
So Catherine Macken would be in her late 70s, early 80s, do you think?
I'd say Catherine now would be pretty much the same age as my good wife, God bless her.
Tell us, if you would, your wife's age. That might help.
I would say 83 last summer.
Okay, and she's known as Dorry or Dorothy or Daughter.
She's known as, she's down at home on that, formerly as Dorothy, and her friends know her as Dorry, D-O-R-R-I-E.
And when she was in Holy Faith in Clontarf and sharing the bus with her, with Apala, would have been the number 30 at that stage back into town.
What happened?
What was her maiden name?
Dorothy would have got the number 31 bus.
Number
back
31,
out to
Holt.
The other lady should have got a bus back. There was a choice of two, really, a number 30 or a 44. It was Gwyn that time.
And what was Dorry known? What was her maiden name, so to speak?
Maiden name was McBride.
Okay, so we're looking for Catherine, who was a friend of Dorry McBride.
That's it.
And that in the early 50s. Now, when were they last in touch?
Well, what I gather is that it'd be many years after that Dorothy got talking to me in that 1956, after the leaving certificate, the last day of it on a Saturday, when it was over, they both went together. Mm-hmm. They were best friends in class. The best friends in that class, which was remarked upon by other people that they didn't know that Catherine Macken had a best friend in class. But anyway, the two girls went into the city on the number 30 bus, and they celebrated the end of the leaving certificate by going to lunch in the Pillar Cafe.
Okay.
And after that, to around some of the main shops at Man the Shows, and then in the evening, towards the evening, went into Hamilton Long. And still in their school uniforms, they bought their first tubes of lipstick, each one to their own choice.
Okay.
And then really mature...
This is the O'Connell Street of the 1950s.
Exactly.
Nelson's Pillar and Cleary's was there and Arnott's was down the street. And the Monument... No, I wasn't around then, I hasten to add. I just love all that period. The Monument Creamery. Yeah. And then we had Guiney's down in Talbot Street, and Guiney's had a sale in Terralee and Slacks. In fact, they still have a sale in Terralee and Slacks. And down in Guiney's was there, Cleary's was there, the GPO was there, the Metropole was there. I know the Metropole was there because I worked in it as a chiseler. I think it was 12 and a half when my mother took me up out of the Arigna coal mines and sent me to work in the Metropole as a lift boy. So that's the Dublin of that's the 60s. I was there. But the Dublin of the 1950s. And that's the last time they saw each other, Dan.
Well, they'd met after that, you see. Okay. As I said, they bought the lipsticks and down they went into the ladies' room, the pub room in the Metropole in O'Connell Street there, and applied it and had a good laugh and then got their... The bus is the same bus they got out of the city and that, and Catherine Macken got off at Newcomen Bridge and that. But they kept up their friendship in that, and it gradually petered out as the demands of adult life took over. Dorothy became a civil servant working in Alborough House in our city and gained new friends in the workplace.
Yeah.
At that stage, she hadn't been in contact with Catherine for a while. I didn't know where she'd find her at that. I said, she went to a dance in the Red Island Holiday Camp Scarries in 1959.
Okay. That
the Whit weekend. And I remember it. Well, I wasn't at the dance, but I was company keeping with Dorothy at the time, and she spoke to me and said, she met some of her friends of the class there that night, 59, and asked them if they know where Catherine had gone to, Catherine Macken, and they couldn't tell her anything of it and that. So it faded out of sight then after that. And it must have been for the year 2000 or in or about, Dorothy, my wife, was saying to me that she liked to know, could she get in contact with Catherine Macken again, and where she went. So off I went, and I searched.
Yeah. And you searched?
I searched in the Pierce Street Public Library, the Archives, the National Archives, street directories, General Register Office, and that. But whilst I came across various Mackens, very helpful in that, and one very helpful man, a man of 88 years of age, God bless him, fine and strong and healthy, was able to tell me that he checked with all the members of the family that even though they lived in the North Strand and that, they had never heard of or knew of that girl.
And do we know anything else about Catherine Macken now in her late 70s, early 80s? Hopefully she's still alive. But do we know, like, what were her interests?
All I can tell you was that in the summer of 1956, after this Leaving Certificate outing of theirs and this and that and the other thing, Catherine went down to Cork to relatives on holidays.
Okay.
I don't know the location. Now, Cork County teams were competing in both hurling and football All-Ireland finals that year. And because of a polio outbreak in Cork, which I remember quite well, 1956, both final matches were postponed to a later date than usual.
Okay.
The hurling final, Cork and Wexford, Wexford won. And then the first one in October, that it was the football, Cork versus Galway, and Galway won. Now, Catherine had returned from Cork, complete with a teenage holiday romance.
Okay.
And had arranged to go to one of the final matches with the young gentleman and she asked her friend Dorothy to accompany her.
Okay.
Now, they went, and would you believe this? Now, it's hard, I suppose, for a country person not to find it. I asked Dorothy, was it the hurling or the football they went to? She couldn't tell me.
Okay.
No.
But did I read somewhere that you said that Catherine Macken, who we're looking for, was an accomplished pianist?
She was.
Great. Well, that's a good sign. That's a good little...
She was an accomplished pianist, and she won prizes at the Dublin Festival.
Oh, wow.
That, as you know, this was incidentally, it would come up during the years, and that she would have done her our Royal Irish Academy examinations as well.
Dan, I'll talk about Dorothy with your permission in a sec, but do you know why she's so anxious to track down somebody from so long ago?
I don't really. I never question her that. Just they were very close friends.
Well, you've done an awful lot. You've gone to libraries and you've gone through newspapers and you're doing your best. Now, tell us, do you say Dorothy, is she in a nursing home?
She's in a nursing home. She's in the advanced stages of the Parkinson's disease. And the reason I'm tempt yourselves in that, I was getting nowhere by going along to archives and newspapers and this and that and the other thing. And one person out of that class I spoke to and that said, well, why don't you talk to Liveline and Joe and that, because they often help in cases like that. So I think my time is limited to bring this to conclusion. That's why I'm pressing it at the moment.
Yeah.
No.
And Dan, do you get in to see, do you call her Dory or Dot? What do you call her?
It's definitely not Dot, because that's one that... She would definitely correct me there.
Okay, great.
I call her Dory.
Okay, how often are you managed, even through a window, to see Dory?
Her nursing home now is about 10 minutes walk from my house.
Okay.
Once a week, I'm allowed to go over there to when they're for 45 minutes. Now, we're not allowed to go inside the building.
Okay.
What the good people there were extremely good in their work and in their commitment. They're an example to all of us, especially Antoinette, who was the director of nursing there.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they have a marquee, a small marquee tent outside a window, and one's relative, Dorothy in my case, or Dory, is in her wheelchair, is brought to the inside of the window. I'm allowed to be the outside. There's a little slot there so that we could hear each other, and that, and there we can do what we can to exchange greetings and this and that and the other thing for the 3/4 of an hour.
Yeah.
And I was over there this morning from 11 to 11:45, and that's about it.
Yeah. And when you said, did you say there's a marquee put up outside, what, so you can sit there if it's raining or?
Exactly. It's probably a glorified, to call it marquee. It's a small tent, like a marquee. It might be about 10 by 10. And it's up against built constructions that are erected just outside the window where the residents are brought to see their relatives and relatives to see the residents inside.
And how do you, do you use a mobile phone? How do you hear each other? Can you?
Well, there's one of the windows. There's a very short slot.
Okay.
Maybe the slot in the window now might be at its biggest, might be about 5 inches that way, and we can exchange greetings that way.
Okay.
But the thing about it is that Dory's voice has got weak in that. I presume lack of use in that. But whilst I can talk and she can hear me and this and the other thing, with my my Croke Park modified hearing aid. My Croke Park for modified ears and that. I'm slightly out of hearing now and that, so I don't always pick up what she says. I just, attempt to interpret a nod of the head or a thing like that. So the one other thing I was going to tell you about they went to the football final.
Okay. Dan, stay with us. You've lots more to say, and I've lots more to ask you. I was reminded when you mentioned there about 56 and the All Ireland being put back and because of the polio epidemic, which I think began in Waterford, spread to Cork, and then other parts of the country as well. And then there was a campaign, a race against time for a vaccine, a bit like the times we're going through now. And then there was a case called the Cutter incident. There was Cutter Laboratories in the States. I was only reading about it the other night, and that's used and referred to by all of the immunologists and the scientists working on a vaccine. They're told to read and read again the Cutter incident, because that was a case where they rushed through with a vaccine, and it was wrongly in one of the labs. It was the mixture, the amount of live virus was wrong, and it actually killed children rather than saving them, and gave children polio rather than preventing it. So it's a hot topic at the minute. Dan, stay with us. We're looking for a woman called Catherine Macken. She would have, as far as we know, lived in the North Strand area of Dublin in the 1950s. She attended Holy Faith. She was a brilliant pianist, winning competitions at the Dublin Fesh in the 1950s. Now, that's 70 years ago, and I accept it's very, very difficult. Dan King has been sleuthing on behalf of his wife, Dorry McBride, that was her maiden name, for a long number of years now, trying to find Catherine, and the reason is very simple, because Dorry, his beloved wife, wants to find out what happened. We'll be back after this 5151 Marchand.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
As we've been contacted by Dan King on behalf of his wife, Dorry McBride. That was her maiden name, from Dublin. Went to Holy Faith Second Level School in Clontarf. Fell in and had a great friendship with a woman called Catherine Macken, a young woman called Catherine Macken, a great pianist. They stood and soldiered together until their leaving cert. Had a great few days afterwards and kept in contact, but obviously life moved on. And Dorry is now in a nursing home in Tralee, and Dan is still continuing. It's been a long and so far unsuccessful campaign. How did you meet Dorry, Dan?
And there was not at all complicated. You see, I came from Tipperary, as you can guess. I was recruited as a trainee for to be a telecommunications technician by the Department of Posts and Telegraphs Engineering Branch and that. Yeah. And we had a football team at that time, an internal one, was very good and won the internal competitions and that. And they had a dance and a dinner and that. And Dorothy's friend, she also worked for Posts and Telegraphs there in Oliver House, and her friend there was quite keen on one of the team, like that. So she asked Dorothy to come with her to the dance. She came to the dance that way, I came my way. The girl who was so keen on the man, that never came to anything.
Okay.
It was the first I met Dorothy that night, and we're still together
the
now.
The rest is history, isn't that fantastic? And many, it's over a half a century at this stage. But do we know anything about Catherine Macken and where she might have ended up? Because as I say, she's now in her 70s or early 80s.
Well, this is the six marker. The only thing I know of her that she, her mother apparently came from Cork. She has gone down to Cork on holidays.
Okay.
And that's that particular year she went down in Cork, 56 to Cork, and there was a teenage romance with a boy who was coming up with some of the family, and they arranged to meet, and they went to the match in Cork Park, and the two, Catherine and Dorothy, got into, there were two cars proceeding. This is the thing now that I'm surprised, I put a letter in the Cork Examiner about it, the day of this, and I'm surprised that it didn't jog memories.
Okay, well, we'll do our best. There's a fair bit of information there, but the problem is it is so long ago, Dan.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which is a great testament to your longevity and indeed Dory's longevity, and long may it continue, so to speak. But Dan, okay, we'll put out that information. Catherine Macken, now in her 70s, early 80s, connection with North Strand in Dublin, accomplished pianist, also with Cork connections as well. If Dory McBride can find her, it'd be wonderful, because Dory's in a nursing home. Thanks indeed, Dan. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Tom Norton was the sound. Maeve Mooney was the BCO. Shana Gorman produced. Rebecca Meehan is the series producer, and Ray Darcy is next.